Hello and welcome along to Northumberland FA podcast from the sidelines with special guest Jamie Williams, Newcastle United pre-academy league coach, and Mark Bertram, head of player and coach development from the pre-academy through the foundation phase at Newcastle United Academy. Well, that's great to have you on again today.
Great to be back, guys. Thank you.
Yes, guys.
So you both presented and from the sidelines for us before, lads. Today we're going to look at learning the game from playing the game. And Mark, I'm just going to start with yourself because we've discussed on a previous podcast players playing in a varied environment to develop player development. But today we're going to shine the light on 4v4.
Cool.
So, Jamie, what were your reasons behind wanting to change the games program, or I should say, bring this into the games program for the sevens and eights when you took over your role?
Yeah, it was a bit of a perfect storm, really, between wanting to and needing to, if I'm honest, Gaz. For a little while, we kind of all wanted to make a bit of a change because the idea that 5v5 and 6v6 was sort of the smallest format that our youngest players were playing in a kind of formal organised game setting just didn't kind of make sense to me. And when we discussed it at the staff team, I think there was quite a shared view that just didn't sort of feel right. We recognised that there's value in those formats, but maybe there was some space for something smaller. Ultimately, and probably the biggest driver in all that we do is trying to promote and enable our like primary aims of the program. So that was the big one, was to try and find a format that would help us promote skill development and love of the game, because they are like our two cornerstones, if you like, of what we do at the pre-academy, or what we hope to achieve. And we wanted more players playing and less players stood on sidelines waiting to play. And when I say that, I'm not just meaning Newcastle United players. I mean any player. So every club that visits Newcastle United, we're there for them as much as sort of players who are part of our programme. So those were kind of like the big wants, if you like. They were the kind of things that we were noticing as we ran a Monday night football. And we wanted to make a change, but they kind of had to become an obvious need because it's quite difficult, as you'll appreciate, to kind of change things that have always been a certain way. And 4v4 as a recognised format was new to everybody. So I had to kind of wait. And if I kind of rewind back to the start of 23-24, you'll remember we were kind of hosting weekly games nights and we'd play generally 2 5v5s and occasionally 2 6v6s. But at the time, we had up to 18 players in the groups that we're playing, which required us, because of the space that we had and the teams that we invited in, it required us to have three teams. And it meant that like two would play and one would be doing a skill session. So the players would find themselves maybe playing for two-thirds of that that evening in a, you know, in the games night setting. And all I could think every time I left our facility was, this is games night. Like, we want all the kids to play. We needed to find a way. And the way that we found to make it possible was, like, we just turned two larger pitches into four smaller pitches. It sounds really simple, but, like, we turned the pitches round. We added two additional pitches in. We turned the format to 4v4, which was three outfield players and a goalkeeper. And kind of overnight, maybe with a little bit of trial and error, we found that had huge impact. And all of a sudden, all of those kind of concerns that we had of players being on sidelines, players not getting so many touches on the ball, was kind of eradicated. And I know, like, later on in this conversation, we'll maybe talk about some of the benefits, but that was definitely why we introduced it. And, you know, I was maybe a champion for it, but there was definitely a club-wide want to to move smaller in our formats, because we see the real benefits for the players.
Cheers. I'm just going to pause that then, come back to you on that around successes. But question for you, Mark, around you oversee the games programme, and there's a variation there to support and develop the players from 3v3, again, we'll touch on that later, through to 7v7, so a wide range of formats. But what challenges and concerns do you have around the higher formats for our players?
Yeah, I think, like Jamie sort of referred to there, we're putting the child first at every decision that we make, and sort of trying to work out what we believe is the best thing for them. So when Jamie talks about the smaller formats there, ultimately you want as many players playing for as long as possible. So it's been really beneficial, the switch in reducing the number of players on the pitch, promoting engagement, ultimately just giving them opportunities to play and explore and have fun. And then as the boys sort of get a little bit older, maybe that there will be times where we put them into higher format games. But we've really tried to scale that down across the age groups. So typically for many years, we would have our under 12s playing 11v11, and that would be all that they did. We'd have our under 11s playing 9v9. And we've seen a shift over the last few years where we really have brought those numbers down, both in terms of meeting our aims and objectives as a club, which is to develop technical excellence, skill development, but also just to give players the opportunity to be on the pitch for longer. I think the risk of going to the larger formats early is that the boys sort of miss out on so many engagements with the football. If you consider you've got 22 players and one ball, the amount of touches that they're going to get, the amount of opportunities that they're going to get to practice and becoming more skillful, or you know, developing the technical abilities is going to be heavily reduced. So we just feel that with the smaller formats, the boys are on the ball for longer, the more engaged, the more involved. Ultimately, there's a consequence to every action. So even though you might not be the player on the ball when you've only got two other teammates, you're still involved because you could be the next pass. And we've sort of not rubbed out understanding of the bigger game, but we've kind of diluted the importance of understanding the bigger game. So the tactical elements, if you want, and we've really tried to shine a light on the technical and skill development aspects.
Ian, you mentioned it, and Jamie mentioned it, Mark, but as coaches at all levels of the game, we talk about player engagement. Players are on the pitch, they're playing the game that they love. And you know, we've seen ourselves, players come off and they're sweating. They've had a real good time playing the maximum minutes that they can play. And then smaller formats where, as you say, Mark, they're engaged throughout, even though they're not on the ball, there might be the next pass, so they're trying to find space to get the next pass. Jamie, what would be the key areas of success have you seen within the 4V format that we've created at Newcastle for our players' development?
Well, how long you got? there's lots to mention. And we've had first-hand experience for well over a year now of kind of watching it every Monday night. First and foremost, the players love it. That is number one. That's the thing that stands out. And love drives learning. So when you love what you do, you're generally more sort of engaged and committed to it. So that's a big one. And I hope that sort of jumps out from this conversation, that like you need to find a format that the players are interested in, that they feel involved in, and ultimately they love being part of it. So that's certainly been a big one. Just kind of touching on some of the stuff that Mark spoke about there. the players will get more interactions with the ball just by the fact that there's less players on the pitch. There's a little bit less noise. There's a little bit less going on. And you're never more than like one or two passes away from being on the ball again. So that leads to higher engagement. It also increases the need for involvement. So, you know, there is no kind of hiding place in these kind of smaller format games. Through increased involvement and interactions with the ball, which doesn't just mean being on the ball. So the kids will definitely get more touches through smaller format games, but they will also just feel like they're interacting. So sometimes players will make a run and not get the ball, but that's still an interaction with the game. That's a decision that they're making. And that's kind of the thing that that's really supercharged for me, is that the number of decisions that are being made just kind of skyrockets. At the foundation phase and within the pre-academy, we absolutely go after players that can dribble with the ball, that can travel with the ball. We want players to express themselves and beat pressure in lots and lots of different ways, but we recognise that players are highly motivated to stay on the ball and to try and beat pressure as an individual. So again, 4v4 for us just increased the number of dribbling opportunities, the number of 1v1 duels that were going on. Interestingly, there's actually more passes, both attempted and played, in 4v4. And I'm sure you've seen that, Gaz, that it's one of the things that kind of gets thrown back at us a little bit, which is this idea that it's, well, but it's not the real game. You're moving further away from the real game, and it just promotes the, you know, players to be greedy and stay on the ball. Well, I encourage anybody to come into our environment and watch the games and be able to say that, because it actually looks more like the game. It's just a different format, and it's understand that it's the children's game. But actually, the interactions and things that are happening on the pitch look more like what you'd see in the Premier League than it would if we played 6v6 with those boys, or we played 7v7 with those boys, because they can just make sense of it. They can kind of pick up on cues and triggers and be able to make clearer decisions, which help the flow of the game. And players definitely pass more in 4v4 than they do when we play the bigger formats, because I just think it's a bit messy. We definitely get more shots at goals. And if you want to talk about, you know, why players fall in love with the game in the first place, I'm sure it's scoring goals or stopping goals. So in 4v4, that's because of the size of the pitch and because of the number of players. You know, that's through the roof as well. There's definitely more meaningful defensive recoveries, tackles, blocks. So we talk a lot about defensive spirit. And again, we see that in abundance, because there's a lot of transitions. You lose the ball and they're straight away, they're in on your goal, because no one's ever more than 30 yards away from the goal, wherever they are on the pitch. So the need to get back and to block and to stop is really heightened. And then from a goalkeeper perspective, we would talk about the goalkeeper being an extra attacker, as you'll appreciate, on a bigger pitch where distances are huge. Goalkeepers can be a little bit isolated, and particularly those younger goalkeepers who can sometimes spend a lot of their time underneath the crossbar. We found that 4v4, they're an integral part of the attack. They're a really, really key part of the game, and whether it's encouraging our goalkeepers to get across the halfway line and create an overload, or whether it's receiving a corner, or whether it's just dribbling out because there's no pressure on them and then finding a pass. I think that's been a huge, huge upgrade for the goalkeeper's experience as well. And yeah, I think it's a freer format. We see kids playing with more freedom, taking risks, almost playing with like a bit more of an experimental explorer's mindset, which if you're interested in learning, that's pretty essential, if you know, to free the kids up and get them to try stuff without a great fear of failure. And yeah, I mean, just kind of finally, I would kind of pinpoint, like, in 4v4, and we spoke about this on Monday night, if you remember when we left, we were just talking about the experience as a whole, which was hugely positive. But we kind of said that, and I recall this conversation, that we're seeing braver, more confident, happier players. And as a result of those three things, we're actually seeing a more skillful game. So, yeah, high motivation, high engagement. Kids love it. Skills through the roof. Just so much to be gained. I mean, I'm fully bought in, and we're not going back. That's for sure.
And I think, Jamie, if you look at the bigger format of the game, what everyone watches on TV, we're just shining the light on different areas of the pitch where, in that larger format, happens all the time, where you've got 2v1s, 1v1s, 2v3s, all happening on a number of occasions within our 4v4 games program.
Yeah, I think those mini games are alive all the time, aren't they? And yeah, for those who've got an interest in like the end in mind, and they really want to think about, well, how are we readying players for the future game? Then there's definitely returns from these smaller formats, because they're just practicing those 2v1, 2v2, 3v2, 3v3 situations. I'd be really careful though to talk of them as mini segments of the bigger game. I think they're absolutely readying players for the bigger game in that way. But ultimately, this is their game. This is a 7 and 8 year old child playing a version of the game that's appropriate and suitable to them. And I thought about this a lot, which is when people say, oh, but you know, it's not the real game. It doesn't look like, well, it does. In fact, it looks more like football at this age when it's smaller format than it does when you try and throw them and land them on a big pitch crowded with lots and lots of players. I guess the one thing that I would add when we talk about this race to the bigger formats and this race up the kind of food chain, I think it's all about balance. My preference would be to stay smaller for longer. I know Mark would agree, and across the whole club, we're playing smaller formats at all of the age groups, right up into the YDP. But it's all about balance, and the balance that I would encourage coaches of very young players to try and strike is keep the game numbers small, but actually try and play between bigger pitches some weeks, smaller pitches other weeks, so that they're actually having a different experience of how close the pressure is, how quick the pressure might be on them. Is there space to really use your athleticism and drive with the ball, or is there very little space and it's much more about fast combinations, or it's more about wriggling your way out of a tight area? But I would be careful that when you try and do something bigger, that you don't go bigger space plus bigger play, bigger numbers. I think it's cool to go appropriate numbers for the age and stage, sometimes in big space, sometimes in small space. I think that would be quite cool.
Mark, when we talk about the practice spectrum, and we talk about repetition of players getting lots of opportunities to practice a particular skill, whether that's 1v1s or playing around pressure, this small format just encourages that to happen in a game setting, what the players really love doing.
Yeah, so I think as soon as you put opposition in, and you know, there's two goals, it's directional. You end up with what we would call like realistic practice conditions. So any decision that a player makes is made in context, and therefore that, you know, the decision is something that sort of represents the real game, if you like. You talk about the practice spectrum, and yes, we would absolutely move up and down that. So ranging from technical and opposed practice, whereby we're really just going after large amounts of repetitions and giving the players a real feel and confidence for a technique. But when you put them in the small-sided games, those techniques have got context and inherently linked to the players perceiving what's around them and then making an appropriate decision based upon the information that they've gathered. And yeah, going back to your point on repetition, because of the smaller formats, they're getting lots of opportunities to make those decisions on the pitch in the game. So I think as a coaching group, we definitely understand the sort of trade-offs for different practice formats, different game formats. And I think I made this point the last time I was on, guys. I think it's just really important that anybody who's out there working with any age player, if they have intentions of going after something, they need to make sure that their actions align to their intentions in order to get the outcomes that they want. So if you want more skillful players who are dominant in 1v1 situations, you know, you need to give them the opportunities to be able to do that. And the smaller format brings that to life. But just going back to something Jamie was referring to before, I think within these smaller formats, both goals are always at play. So if you think about what young players love to do, well, they love to score goals. They get loads and loads of opportunities to do that. But on the flip side, there's consequences to turning the ball over. So you turn the ball over, actually, you're defending your goal again. So every action is really meaningful. You think about engagement. Well, if every action matters and there's an opportunity to do the things I love, to be Alexander Isak and score loads of goals, but actually to be Dan Burn and make loads of blocks, and I'm doing that continuously, then of course the players are going to love it. They're going to get a buzz from it. And then you mentioned about the bigger game before. Well, you know, when you think of the bigger game, where are the defining moments in the bigger games? The defining moments happen in the penalty box. You know, that's where goals are scored. That's where goals are stopped. And actually, we're just giving the players so many more opportunities to engage in those moments, as well as, you know, all the link-up play that they'll do when they're travelling through the pitch and the passing and receiving that emerges naturally because they can connect in two and three player combinations because that's where they're at. I mean, we had an interesting experience maybe just before Christmas, actually, whereby we took, I think it might have been there, guys, actually. We took our under-8s to play in a tournament, and it was a 6v6 tournament. And they actually found that really, really challenging, both from a spatial awareness, from being able to understand distances, and to make sense of having 12 players on the pitch. Mm-hmm. We then, the next day, played 4v4s back at home. And some things that we'd sort of noticed were a challenge for them, maybe connecting and combining in the 6v6 format. They could do it perfectly well and get loads of opportunities to practice it in the 4v4s. And actually all it was that there was just too much happening. It was really hard for them to make sense of the chaos that was in front of them because that's where they're at. That's their age and stage. So we're just trying to create environments which are appropriate for the age and stage of our players. And I think definitely the 4v4 has a place, which, you know, we'll continue to do. And then, as I say, as they go through the pathway, we'll expose them to different formats at different moments for different purposes.
Mark, looking at the four-corner model, so we spoke a lot around the technical side. How does that real small format of 4v4 incorporate the social corner, the psychological, the physical aspects of that?
I think there's definitely elements of the psychological corner which the dial's really turned up on. So you think about concentration. For me, if you're engaged in the game all the time, you're getting opportunities to develop concentration. If you switch off for a moment, the consequences are quite big in the sense that you could concede a goal. So I think that's one. You're in lots of duels and in lots of battles. So you get that element of physical contact, and with that physical contact comes the psychological outcome of emotional control. So I think what we'll find a lot of time in our players is that when things get a little bit heated, some of them can become a little bit teary. Well, actually putting them in this environment where it is hustle and bustle and it's fast and furious, they learn to develop their to control their emotions, which is, you know, a vitally important skill to have. You've also got the decision-making element that I referred to before. You know, they're constantly making decisions that might not just be on the ball decisions. It could be, how do I support? Where do I support? Right, we've transitioned. What do I now need to do? So you're really ramping up decision-making opportunities. From a physical perspective, like I mentioned before, you're in duels a lot. So how do you win those duels? Is it through physical contact and learning how to use your body to protect the ball or to wriggle away? Or is it through agility or speed where you're using that to sort of win your 1v1 duel when you're in possession? So yeah, there's lots of outcomes across the four corners. From a social perspective as well, I think the boys just love being in that small group. We'll often see them encouraging each other and praising each other. And when someone scores a goal, which is quite often, they'll celebrate together. So they get those real highs more often. And I think that just is a real pleasant watch, if I'm honest, when you see them congratulating and cheering each other on.
Jamie, anything to add?
Yeah, I think
Mark's just mentioned the...
Just to coin a phrase that was used on Saturday, albeit on Saturday we played a 5v5 tournament, and the phrase that was used was, it's just kids playing football. And for me, that is, in essence, what we're aiming for. So competition is an integral part of the game, and certainly as a football club, we encourage players to compete. It's their game. The game belongs to them and the competition belongs to them. So we actively encourage them to compete in a fair and committed way. But ultimately, it's kids playing football. Like, it's just kids expressing themselves and having fun. So everything that Mark spoke about there and the point you made about the social corner, I think, is a really good one. I hadn't thought about that, but actually we see the players celebrate together to do like funky dances when they've scored. Like, they do celebrations more on a 4v4 games night than they do maybe in the bigger formats. I don't know why that is. The other thing that I would add is that in the smaller formats of the game, and in particular on a Monday night 4v4, the players are not constrained by positions. The format requires them to see and use spaces that are in the game, and like responding to space, opponents, teammates is like at a real premium. And if we're thinking about like the future game and the future player, I'm not sure positioning players and pigeonholing them into set roles within a team is a particularly healthy place to be. And I mean, there's a good argument going around the game at the moment around positionalism versus relationism. And it's about, actually, do we want rigid formats? Do we want people to just see themselves as playing in this space or playing in this position versus the fluidity and the flexibility of formations as they get older to move between roles and play out in different areas of the pitch? And I think if we want skillful, adaptable, free thinking young players, I definitely think this is a pretty healthy place to start. If we're saying that everyone attacks and everyone defends, sometimes you're on the left, sometimes you're on the right, sometimes you appear at the back and sometimes you appear at the front. And there's no sort of structure to that. It's all responsive to the moment and each other. So, yeah, just a really lush format.
And, Jamie, they're all getting an opportunity to practice playing without the ball, defending, and playing with the ball, which is what ultimately we're trying to develop a more skillful player in and out of possession.
Absolutely. No, 100%.
Yeah. Jamie, I mean, I think the club does this really well and how we develop our players and using different variations of formats. But you're also really supportive of the 3v3 format, especially using the air pitches that the club have got. Again, from another developmental part of a young player's journey, how's that worked for you and with the younger age groups and developing their ultimately skill factor?
Yeah, I mean, the air pitches have been a big addition to what we do. We've been using them for this will be like our second season with them, and that kind of program's really grown with hosting festivals and tournaments, as well as utilizing them in sort of weekly training programs. Again, just to kind of go back to stuff that we've spoke about already, it massively fits our push for skillful, spirited young players, which is kind of one of the headlines that we go after. The pitches are like really tight. So it's a tough, tough game environment. Bertie used the phrase hustle and bustle, fast and furious before. I think that describes the 3v3 air pitches pretty well. The tight space means that you're kind of like immediately faced with pressure. Can feel like you're like you've got little space to breathe. And we love that. Like we love the pressure cooker sort of feeling of it, the, you know, that sort of nature of the game. There's nowhere to hide in 3v3. The ball never goes out of play, so you've got to be all in with your intensity. You know, and again, you don't want to play for too long because it's a pretty, you know, it's a tiring game. It is all action. It is non-stop. If I want to pinpoint what it really sort of does for us, it allows us to laser in on our work around escape artists. So exposing players to situations where I guess they're encouraged to shake them loose and to try and lose an opponent with their wriggles and their wobbles and their clever movements. And again, because there's never any space and time, you're constantly having to try and feint and fake and escape your way out. And then there's a consequence to what happens next, because if you stay on the ball too long without finishing the move and connecting with the teammate or finding the goal, the next man's on you again. So it really does work well with our this concept of developing escape artists who can play in really, really tight spaces and escape. And then there was the recent tournament that we hosted, where we invited Rangers and a few other clubs to join us in like a multi-format game day. And the players would go from playing 3v3 on the air pitches to playing 5v5 in some slightly bigger spaces. And I just love the adaptability of the kids, you know, how they could kind of go from playing one format for a period of time and then dive into a totally new space, which has a totally new dynamic. And we also saw different players shine in different formats. So that's quite cool. You know, someone who's just absolutely smashed it out the park on the 5v5 comes into a space that's a bit tighter for them. And actually it challenges them to adapt how they play and maybe shines the torch on some areas that they're still trying to really develop and master. The air pitches are just a wicked, wicked part of what we do. And, you know, to go back to Bertie's point earlier on, it's one of many, many formats across a long player journey. And again, they're not, you know, we don't use them for 7 and 8 year olds exclusively. Everybody's using the air pitches, you know, our foundation phase and right through into our like 12s, 13s and 14s have access to those pitches to do, you know, to use for one, enjoyment, engagement, but most importantly, skill development.
I think as if I was to sum up the 3v3 pitches, one moment you can have your hands in the air, celebrate the most outrageous bits of skill. The next moment, you've got your hands over your eyes because someone's just run into a massive 50-50 tackle and someone's, you know, up against the side of the 3v3 pitch. It's got everything, really. You know, you mentioned the four-corner model before. I think you really start to shine a light on some of those capabilities, some of those characteristics that I mentioned. It's a fantastic format, and I think, you know, we've seen a rise not just in the amount of academy age groups that are using them, but, you know, you've got them with your private companies now, and, you know, hopefully it'll stretch into becoming more common in grassroots. If you've got 4 or 5 of those air pitches available, there's so many kids that can be playing and being involved. So just from a child perspective, get them on the pitch, get them playing, get them involved. It's fast, it's furious, you've got to be skillful. It's top.
And not just kids, our first team used them. How about that? So our first team bought their own slightly bigger ones for like 4v4 and 5v5, but they're used in training quite often. So many returns across all the ages. And levels, of course.
Yeah. I suppose my final question, lads, it would be, what would be your key messages to take away grassroots coaches listening in? Because ultimately, we're all coaches to try and support and develop our players in all different times of the players' journeys, to really focus in on supporting and developing our players with the smaller formats that we've spoke about today, particularly that 4v4. Jamie first.
Key messages, kids need to play to get better at the game. That would be my first big message. Like, they need to play the game to get better at it. Kids also need to play the game to stay in love with the game. So, like, them standing on sidelines and not getting access to play is certainly not gonna help. When there's more players on the pitch, kids get less opportunity to get better at being on the ball and supporting around the ball. So again, if you're serious about skill development, you probably want to have players on the pitch for longer, surrounded by less players, creating a bit less noise. And then just remembering that love drives learning. So I'd encourage all coaches to find formats that ultimately help the players love what they're doing. I think 3v3 and 4v4 could be part of that solution. You never know, and I certainly hope in future years or future podcast episodes, you know, we're all talking about the implementation of 2v2s and 1v1 formats, even within game day environments, because I think there's a space for that. But maybe that's the next pod.
Mark?
Probably just some messages around the realities of actually getting these formats in place. I think if it's something that you really believe in, and we definitely do, I think it's just about being brave to make it happen. So taking the risks to maybe invite clubs to you and play those formats, because ultimately you're trying to shift the norm. Sometimes that can feel uncomfortable. But like I say, you know, we believe in smaller formats. If any of the coaches out there do as well, give it a go, try and change the norm, try and get people on board, because the benefits are huge.
Brilliant. Lads, Jamie, Mark, it's always a pleasure to chat with you, but thanks again for sharing your experiences and knowledge with us this morning on From the Sidelines.
Cheers, guys. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Cheers, Jamie. Cheers, Mark. Bob.